Welcome back to the Black Is 15-minute break with yours truly, KC Layman. Tonight is another beautiful roundtable podcast. Joining us tonight are Jamila Farwell, Brother T, DJ A Ski, Mike Eagle, Darius Gray, Toria Williams, Malcolm Darrell, Leisha Mack, Chris Layman, and tonight's topic is Big Mama's Dilemma, America's Fascination with the Emasculation of the Black Male Comedian. So, of course, this topic came on the table with the release of Big Mama 3, and we talked about this. Our group had a conversation about this previously, and at that time, I did make the comment that this film offended me. In hindsight, I have to amend that statement. I'm not offended by it. I'm just bored with this particular scenario happening when it comes to black comedy. I'm just tired of seeing black men dress up as women. I don't think it's necessary, period. So that is my take on it. I would love to hear what the other members of the family think. Don't be shy.
Just go ahead and jack it. You know what I mean?
This is DJ Aski, Unique 74 Mag, represent every time worldwide. First and foremost, I'm a huge Martin Lawrence fan. Going back to what's happening now, I'll go that far, you know. And wow. I think for him, you know what it is. You know what I'm saying? Basically, with that, he's always been a very conscious comedian. But he's always been able to capture various audiences on different levels. However, when you get to a certain level in Hollywood, you know, the money is there, you know, and I think it was a situation where it's about economics. I don't think it was necessarily a moral issue per se. And I'm not speaking for, you know, Mr. Lawrence by any means. I was rather disappointed. The first two, it made sense because they were a huge box office success. So who would not want to repeat that success and topple that? Same as Chris Tucker with Rush Hour. Right. 1, 2, and 3, which instantly became a franchise. So you look at Big Mama, part 1, 2, and 3, any movie that's a successful sequel is going to garner X amount of merchandise, retail, revenue, etc. So who would not want to repeat that success? However, from a conscious standpoint, I think at the place where Martin Lawrence is now, I personally felt he could have had the choice of not doing that. I think there's been... And I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to say the guy's name, you know what I'm saying? But I think due to the success of certain African-American directors that have been perpetuating the same stereotypes and the success that people such as Melvin Van Peebles, Richard Pryor, you know, Flip Wilson, etc., you know, groundbreaking legends fought against, he reopened kind of a can of worms, mm-hmm. you know, and whatever his excuse is or whatever the case may be, I think we as a people, you can't really necessarily scream on the movie or Martin Lawrence. I think you have to really look at the audience that is going out supporting, you know, such nonsense and foolishness. So really, and it goes to, I mean, when I saw the marketing, you know, he brought his son in on the act, you know what I mean? So it's right. It's sort of like, wow, okay, you're adding insult to injury and pouring salt in the wound. It's really up to the audience and the so-called black radio stations, I'm going to go ahead and call it what it is, you know what I'm saying, to really step up and analyze what we promote. And we as a people wanting more for ourselves other than the same perpetuated stereotypes. We can't necessarily look to the movie, to the studios, the actors, directors, or whatever. It's a business at the end of the day.
Yeah, and the question for me is, who is going to see these films? Because I don't know too many black people that are supporting this franchise. So, right. You know, somebody's greenlighting these films, but I don't know what demographic is really in support of it. So right. That's a question for me as well.
Which anybody may be else? A bias. This is Malcolm. Because, I mean, just looking at the roundtable, we're all at a certain socioeconomic class. So I would say that there is probably a certain class of people who love and enjoy this, just as those same people go see Tyler Perry. You know what I mean?
He said the name.
And yes. I was going to say the name, but I was going to be, you know, it's just TP. My thoughts on the situation are, it saddens me that we don't honor our history. And it frustrates me because more than anything, we are back at a point that we'll sell out ourselves for a dollar. Obviously, there are images that we have tried to, as a people, to move away from and to really redefine ourselves. And we constantly, and I say we who see it, we who laugh at it, we who participants in it are all complicit
in the act. So, you know, I'm not judging Martin's decision to do that,
right.
But he's complicit in the behavior, just like the person who goes to see it. And that's the same for me if I happen to catch it on bootleg. You know, I mean, that's my frustration. It's just that we don't recognize that we've been trying to move past that. And the only people to me who can prevent that is us. You know what I mean? I don't think white people are going out in groves to see Madea or Big Mama's House.
Yeah.
Or Norbit.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? I mean, these are all, I mean, and the last, and I'm always trying to think of, like, what's a white example? And the only thing I can think of is Mrs. Doubtfire.
And right. Jim Carrey. And on, in Living Color. Jim
but I mean, Carrey was I'm talking about, you know, Hollywood films, not just television, but, you know.
And I guess you mentioned Eddie Murphy and Norbit, and that is just one of those films that for me was probably the most problematic. Because, I mean, Eddie's brilliant. He does characters. And when he did The Clumps, that was amazing. That first one was really amazing, that whole dinner scene. But that Norbit character was so troublesome for me. Everything about this just very evil black woman, that Rasputia. And to me, he is that. He'll go there. He is the one actor who will go there in terms of the stereotypes he will portray when he's in costume of black women, specifically. You know, you can always look at the Wayans brothers and, you know, their white chicks and how they played with that. But for me, their brand of comedy has always kind of been wrapped in, I don't want to say buffoonery, but that's really what it is. You know, like that's where they go. So, you know, my expectations of them are just what they are. I too love Martin and have been so glad that he's been able to rise above a lot of the drama that he experienced at one point in time. So to bring this film back, I think I mentioned in the last conversation, I would have loved to see Rush Hour, would it be 3? Not Rush Hour 3, Bad Boys. Like, you know, what's up with he and Will hooking up again? You know, because that was a really good franchise. And I know they made money on that one. That was a good action film. So bring that back. Instead of bringing, as Aisky mentioned, another young brother into the fold doing the same slapstick.
Aiding and abetting.
Right. Drag comedy.
Can I just say, I think it's interesting that you refer to Martin Lawrence as a conscious comedian. I love Martin as well, but he's never been conscious to me. And you, when you look at Martin and what it became, and like definitely the last season, maybe even the last two seasons, there was a lot of coonery or buffoonery, I thought, on Martin. Why do you think that he's conscious?
Well, first and foremost, you know, some people would probably look at Richard Pryor and say the same thing. You know, in some cases, you know, and there's different levels of consciousness. You can have somebody, you know. You know, okay, fight the power, you know what I mean? But you can have someone that balances it out, you know what I'm saying? Just for the fact that he had brothers such as Garrett Morris, who was the first brother on SNL, on his show. That was his decision to do that. And I think that was a very conscious decision. Now, when you say conscious, are you speaking from a political level or, because I mean, again, Martin was responsible for a lot of people getting on, you know what I'm saying, in the game. And I felt I was not necessarily socially conscious, if you will, or political, you know what I mean? Because I think that brother knew, let's put it this way, you know, all the characters that he had, Shanae, et cetera, he somehow balanced it out, you know, and he always represented where he came from, you know what I'm saying, which is DC, I believe, you know, so from that standpoint, I say that he's always been for the underdog, so he's always been a brother from the streets that never forgot where he came from, so to me, that's more conscious than some cat throwing up a banner talking about fight the power, in my opinion. Yeah.
But is that important?
Street credibility is what we call it.
I mean, I agree with you, but at the same time, to the detriment of the work that people as a whole have done to move forward in an image that's been portrayed of them in mass media. You know, I mean, to me, there was no need to make this movie. And if he said, I'm not doing that, I want to do something else. His brand is who the comedian that he is, not the woman that he's portraying. Right. So he had a choice, and that's what I want to get back to is just what are the choices that are being made, and why are these comedians making this choice, and why are we as a community losing sight of the struggles that we fought to get past these images of whether it's, you know, emasculating black men or you know, us being lazy or whatever the images are that have been in mass media, but us getting past that and the choices that we're making in 2011 to have a film like that.
And the fact that you mentioned that, like, this could be a separate topic, but I came across an article where Anthony Mackie, post the Oscars, made the comment that he felt like blacks in Hollywood were just becoming lazy. I mean, look at this past year. You know, we can talk about the fact that we weren't represented at the Oscars, but that's whatever. But when we think about the films this year that were groundbreaking or that lasted in our minds in 2010, what comes to mind? Color Girls is the only thing I can think of, and I didn't see that movie. You know, and that's no diss to TP. I wasn't ready for the depression. I wasn't. That's me.
And I think it's going to take a collective of writers and producers and directors to really, as Don Cornelius would say, you know, put that shot in the arm, you know, to the audience out there and really raising the stakes. And there are a lot of talented writers out there that need to be, and you know, that are budding, but they need the capital to be heard, you know, and the support. So I think if we don't see those people out in the forefront, you're going to see the same, you know what I mean? The same old business, if you will.
But at the same time, those people won't be heard if you have people like TP and Martin who are constantly saying, yes, green light this buffoonery. Because if they say, no, we actually want to step it up and we actually want to move past this because of their clout, because of their influence, to me, that's a step you can move beyond that. So how do you, I mean, I'm not trying to become back and forth.
Let me take this to another level. This is Darius Gray. I think what we failed to bring into the conversation is who is really in control of making these films. These brothers, I understand their desire to be successful in their given fields, but I think there is something outside of that, someone, something, some power that says that black men have to emasculate themselves, be castrated, you know, especially when they reach a certain level of fame and popularity. I mean, with the exception of Bill Cosby, I don't know of one black comedian who has not dressed up as a woman.
Well, Richard Pryor, I don't think.
Yes, he did, and JoJo Dancer, he did.
And Chappelle would be the only other one.
Yeah, but he did other things that were
yes.
probably even
just
more degrading.
Bad, right.
Now, he did pump the brakes at some point, you know, but, you know, maybe it was too late. And so I just think it boils down to money.
Yeah, and Martin has been quoted as saying people would have less to say about this film if they saw the amount of zeros on his check.
Well, you know, and I think, I think it's problematic even to blame even the people who run the studios on making those kind of decisions, because the reason that they do that is because we as the people have spent money on that before.
Exactly.
Now, when we see the commercial for this one as a people, we're more apt to say in 2011, oh, that's tired. You know what I mean? But before, we went and spent money on that, you know,
this
so.
True. But why is that entertaining? What's entertaining?
I certainly don't know what's entertaining about it at all, but I mean, I can definitely say that those were our dollars powering that in the past. And I think it's kind of unfair for us to have to look at Hollywood to try to be the purveyors of whatever positive image that we're trying to portray. That's not what Hollywood is about. Hollywood is a capitalistic business endeavor that's about entertainment and money. It's got nothing to do with how we feel about ourselves. And if we need Martin Lawrence in 2011 to be Martin Luther King, then we have a lot of problems. Right? We need to start way, way, way back at square one before we are putting that kind of responsibility on him. The best thing we can do is what we're doing now, talk about it and not go spend money on it.
Yeah.
That's the best thing we could do.
That's agreed. I would like to say, as we come to a close on this, I just want to highlight a company called Eye on Black. I don't know if anybody here knew, because I found out about it the day before, but there was an event that took place at the California Afro-Am Museum the Friday before the Oscars, honoring black directors, Robert Townsend, Kenan Ivory Wayans, Tim Story, and a really special honor to Melvin Van Peebles. Mm-hmm. And it was a star-studded event. With celebrities and actors and you know, people who support and love these men for the product that they have brought to the table for our community for so many years. And, you know, when things like this year's Oscars get, you know, where we get overlooked and we go through a year where there are no films that feel quality to us that come, you know, on the big screen. When stuff like that happens, you just got to, you know, love the people that are doing it and be in support of it. So I just want to give a shout out to, again, Eye on Black. Anybody have anything to say in summation?
Quickly, I did want to get back to this point, but just I think the more interesting point is what you raised earlier that we didn't really talk about, which is how do we as a community see our Black women that we're so comfortable with these men in drag portraying Black women in the ways that they do in these films?
Yeah.
That's what's the most problematic thing to me.
I think we've gotten so accustomed to it. It's almost, well, now, as Mike Eagle said, now we're tired of it. But it's been so regular, you know? It's just been so regular, we've just accepted it.
I don't know. You know, I think it's up to us to change all of that and not support any of those type. And the thing about it is, it's like, how can I put it? It's like you don't want to throw the baby with the bathwater. It's about balance. If you're going to show one thing, show the other.
Right.
Have a broad spectrum, because not everybody went to Harvard or Howard. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But on the flip, you got to tell everybody's story in order to make it complete.
Yeah, and in addition to that, as much as we want to say we should not support the films, if these are the only kind of films getting made with Black people, then if we don't support them, we don't see ourselves on screen at all. I mean, we're in a serious catch-22 when it comes to it, you know?
I have to disagree.
Okay.
Because I know it's people making films right now.
We're just
it's
not
people
seeing
in
them.
Our peer groups, and that's on us to look other places other than the biggest venues to, you know, we got to support our people from the ground up. And they're not going to get there without us.
Yeah.
You know?
And I also want to say that when I look at the film industry, you primarily see white, Black, and maybe you're going to get, you know, a few scattering of some Latino and some maybe an Asian. And I don't think these other communities who are not primarily white, Black, Latino are looking to the film industry to, you know, value themselves. And I think Black people have to get beyond that. I think we really put so much emphasis on entertainment being a way and sports being a way that we can see ourselves as whole, and we really got to get beyond that. You know, when you look at an Asian community, they are not tripping off of being on, you know, and if they are, they start their own.
Well, the thing is, they are. We just don't hear about it. And I remember taking.
No, I'm saying like as far as
mass media,
mass media, yeah, and commercial.
They have a concern about it. We just don't hear about it. Like, I remember that being.
But it's not stopping them from doing what they do. Because
absolutely
you go through and you see a bank and they all up in it supporting. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, but that's a whole different conversation about how we don't galvanize around our community in regards to business, but. To be continued. Thank you all for joining us, and check back in for the next Black Is 15-minute break. Peace.